How's everyone tonight? Hey, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Major reasons why believers are sick. This is the module that we're on. Healing School 2. Today we're going to talk about the major reasons why believers have difficulty in overcoming sickness and disease. There are four categories of believers. A, all believers. B, young believers. C, immature believers. And D, mature believers. Now, every person is unique, and so in every giving situation, there may be a lot involved in the process we'll cover here. Pastor Joshua can usually spot the reason why a person died in his own personal experience, just as in his own family, several years in advance. He knew the ones that were going to die because of things they were doing and saying. And these did not line up to the Word of God. The challenges were evident in their lives and being taught in this module. That are being taught in this module. These things don't happen to people by chance. But if someone happens to be in the wrong place at the right time, or the right place at the wrong time, that person can die. Everything has to proceed based on spiritual laws, based on rules of physical laws. Science has not progressed to the point where they have psychological laws. They have only psychological guidelines. But the interaction of the human mind can often be predicted, even though it may not fall in the definition of a law. It can be a law if you know the conditions and you know and you can predict the result. A law never changes. Remember that. A law never changes. For example, gravity always works as long as you're living in the physical realm. Some laws that work never change. Law of chemistry, the law of lift for airplanes, the law of electricity, and the law of magnetism. Laws of men and the guidelines of psychology can be very subjective, but the laws of physics are not subjective. They always work. Amen. Except when they are overridden by spiritual laws, which is a higher law. That is why the Bible says that we are in this world, but we are not of this world, as it says in John 18:36. We go into the spiritual realm and use spiritual law to override a physical law. And that is what the world calls a miracle. Hallelujah. We want to live in the spiritual realm to such an extent that we create a world that other people would think that we would live a miraculous lifestyle. Our miraculous lifestyle should be our normal way of life. We want to live in the spiritual realm where the spiritual laws are based on our words, which will override the physical laws. In any given situation, there are laws working determines why a person is sick or why a person dies. This is a brief introduction which gives you some major reasons why believers are sick and have difficulty in overcoming sickness and disease. A, all believers, not attending church regularly. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. Now, Hebrews 10:25. Did you know that ABC is founded on Hebrews 10:25? Yes. Assemblies of the body of Christ. That's right. A, B, C. A bunch of Christians. That's what we are. A bunch of Christians. Yes, that's what we are. The evil one will try and convince Christians not to go to church regularly, or perhaps to do something else instead, which a person thinks is more important. For example, men might think the attending a sports event or a ball game instead of going to church is more important than attending church. For women, going to a big shopping sale, or attending a baby shower or a wedding shower may be more important than attending church. The devil will try and separate Christians from receiving the corporate anointing that can only be received by attending or live streaming an anointed church service. Now let's talk about all believers at any level. If a believer is not attending church on a regular basis, there are challenges awaiting them. You see, wolves go after a herd and separate one out of a herd, pack, or sheep flock. Once wolves get one separated, they can attack that one lone sheep easily and have their way with that one. It's the same thing with a devil, coming as roaring lion, trying to attack the body. He desires to separate one out of the pack. How do demons, devils, and evil spirits separate a Christian out of a church flock? Demons, devils, and evil spirits get the lone Christian to quit attending church on a regular basis. When you are ministering to someone who has multiple problems, the first questions you should ask, are you going to church on a regular basis? At least 2 times a week, minimum. The majority of the time, you will find that the answer is no. Because this person is not going to church, it shows the beginning of his or her problem. And the main reasons why Satan can attack them with multiple challenges, because that person is isolated himself away from sheep flock or a Christian pack that we call a church congregation. The major reason, the number one major reasons why believers are sick, why they have multiple problems attacking them at once, is they're not attending church regularly. Number two, not reading the Bible regularly. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but shall meditate in day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make a way prosperous, and then you will have good success. 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "You abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If you believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you will go to heaven. But those who continue in God's word are the ones who will be set free from sickness, disease, accidents, and poverty. If you want to be set free, then you need to come to continue abiding in God's word. Not confessing. Number three, not confessing their sins regularly. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, we need to confess our sins as soon as we realize that we have sinned. You need to run to him as soon as you can reestablish your relationship with God, because sin separates Christians from God and his protective covering in the kingdom of God. Your sins were forgiven over 2,000 years ago. So Jesus could establish a relationship with you as your Redeemer and Lord. There is a man who came to ABC for healing, for a challenge, blood disease and gout. He was so challenged that he could not even put on his shoes. After he got healed from both of those challenges, he gave a testimony and said, "I have been a Christian for 30 years. And nobody has ever told me I needed to confess my sins. Much of the body of Christ is unaware of that also. Number four, taking offense of forgiveness. Matthew 18:35, especially 35. Now let's focus on verse 35. Matthew 18:35. So my heavenly Father will also do to you, each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother trespasses. You see, Christians need to forgive that they will not be the unforgiven. Unforgiveness is so critical because it's one of the major hindrances to our spiritual life. Because ABC teaches that unforgiveness module in every semester of healing school. Therefore, I'm not going to go in depth on that subject in this module. Taking offense is another major reason why believers are sick. It is a hindrance to a Christian lifestyle. If a Christian is having trouble getting healed, it is necessary to consider he, she has taken offense or is in unforgiveness. It is not enough that a person just say that he or she has forgiven the offender, because unforgiveness is very subtle. In addition, you must forgive the offender from your heart and release the offender. Release bitterness, release resentment, release grudges, release occurring bad memories, and also forgive yourself and release yourself from guilt, regret, and shame. A, taking offense and unforgiveness blocks our relationship with Jesus. B, people who have unforgiveness are handed over to the tortures, according to Matthew 18:34. The torturing demons like to bring fear, torment, depression, frustration, anxiety, anger, self-hatred, loneliness, sickness, poverty, pain, strife, and all evil problems. D. The fruit of the Spirit that we are developing may come blocked and may get to the point that demons want to choose those Christians to become fruitless. Fruitless. That's right. Those Christians become fruitless. Five, words of their mouths. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you let the Holy Spirit take over your life, heart, soul, mind, body, and your tongue, the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart become pleasing to God, who is your strength and your redeemer. The major reason why believers are sick is the words of their mouths. This scripture is very traditional teaching at ABC because it is so foundational. John 18:8-32 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. As described in number 2. There are two types of believers, all believers and disciples. Being a disciple is a second type of Christian, so all believers go to heaven, but believers who get set free on earth get set free from sickness, disease, pain, poverty, accidents, and attacks of the evil one, that are disciples who abide or continue in God's word. Continue means to hear, believe, speak, and do. Because you have decided to make healing school a lifestyle decision and abide in God's word, you are those disciples of Jesus Christ who will be set free. Amen. Yeah, there was a international pastor who was explaining to Pastor Joshua the reason why he was sick, that every year at this time he would get sick. Pastor Joshua explained about the words of his mouth and about the verse 1 Peter 2:24. He also told him about the affirmations, and that he should do at least 50 affirmations. He told him to call him if he had any questions. That pastor received his healing. Hallelujah. And the next year he was challenged. He did the same thing, and he got his healing. Hallelujah. The next year came, he got his challenge, and he didn't get his healing. And he never called Pastor Joshua. He told a mutual friend that affirmations didn't work. And that was the last time ABC heard from that pastor. B, young believers, lack of knowledge, ignorance of the promises. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Most Christians have a big, wonderful hearts. They are always trying to get other people healed. But the point of the fact is, a lot of people being ministered have a lack of knowledge, like it says in Hosea 4:6, and are violating many of the conditions to get set free of sickness. But in Matthew 7:24-27, Jesus said, if you hear my words and do them, then you will have your house built upon the solid rock, and the storms of life will not bring the house down. But believers trying to pump the grace of God into people they minister to who are violating spiritual laws without educating them about God's word. Lack of knowledge is being ignorant of God's promises. We can't have the faith of the promises if we don't know what the promises are. If you don't study the word, you won't have the knowledge. 2 Peter 1:2 says, grace is multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Some young believers, after a while, may start to walk in the lack of grace. They may have tremendous grace to get saved. In the beginning, when others are doing their work for them by spoon-feeding them the milk of the Word, they can often receive a lot of miracles and wonderful things. But after a short time, they need to start seeking the Word themselves to get God's grace on their own. Because of grace comes through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. At any point in time that a believer quits studying the Bible and quits living the Bible, then grace starts to be cut off. Grace, which is God's help when you don't deserve it, comes through an ongoing search for the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. Lack of faith, number two. Romans 10:17. So when faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 14:23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because if he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. You see, young believers, of course, could have a lack of knowledge, because if they have never seen somebody healed, they might not have any faith for healing. If they have seen a lot of people die, it's difficult to tell them that they won't die, have to die. That is why we teach ABCers that you don't have to die, because you can be here when Jesus returns. Hallelujah. Three, bad teaching. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. But because they have the itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, The Spirit especially says in that later times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Yes, for young believers, bad teaching is one of the major reasons why believers are sick, because it is sad to see the poor level of teaching concerning the major things of God, such as marriage. There are many terrible teachings in the body of Christ on marriage, on healing, on walking in faith, on prosperity, on tongues, on receiving the Holy Spirit. Much of the body of Christ do not believe in tongues. Much of the body of Christ do not believe in tithing. 9 out of 10 people do not tithe. A big part of the body of Christ do not even believe in hell. That is so sad. That even tells you they have no understanding of prosperity and how God's finances work. Number 4, fear. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Fear comes with bad teaching, because with bad teaching, young believers pray fear-filled prayers and wonder why those kind of prayers are not answered. And the fear undermines faith. You can have fear, you can have fear and faith together. Fear and faith are like two sides of a coin. You must choose which one you want. You can see the head or the tail, but not both at the same time. You can choose fear, which is confidence in what the devil says and tells you that you're going to die, or you can choose God's good report that says you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. You can live and not die. You cannot choose both. So, fear is one of the major reasons why believers are sick. Yeah, there was a girl that was a stutterer, and after about 6 years of medical treatment at UCLA, she still stuttered so badly that even with a master's degree, she never was able to get a job. She met ABC and a pastor who led her to the Lord. An ABC pastor knew the problem was fear. So after talking with her, he had her use an affirmation of 2 Timothy 1:7. In the name of Jesus, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. After doing this, after doing the affirmations daily during summer break, she resumed treatment classes at UCLA Medical Center. They were so shocked that she was about 90% better after 90 days, that they asked her to speak to the entire class and to explain how she got healed. Hallelujah. Sins of their youth, roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All believers grow up in sin. In fact, all believers still have a lifestyle of sin. Many young believers may think that it's not so bad having a nice time at a party getting drunk. It is still a sin, even though they don't think it's a sin. Young believers may not know what sins are because they don't know what the Word of God says. Sins are like a roaring lion. For a young believer, the devil comes like a roaring lion to steal the word of God from them. Bad habits have been there since their youth. And because they do not flee the sins of their youth, they give into those temptations. of a roaring lion and end up sinning. C, immature believers. Immature believers are those who have been saved for a while, but they have not grown into the fullness of the word, appropriate to the level they are at. And in using the word, it is in speaking the word, and in doing the word, that we start to know good and evil. It is, that's what it says in Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. For everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But the solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Laziness, number one. Hebrews 6:12, let you not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. For an immature believer is the very major reason why believers are sick is laziness. An immature believer is not a young believer. Immature believer is not like an intermediate believer. They have been saved for many, many years. They have heard about grace and don't think they have anything to do. If they buy into that doctrine, it will become very easy to become lazy in the things of God, because every promise of God has a condition. If any believer meets those conditions, he or she will get the promise. An example of that someone will get the promise of salvation. If you meet the condition that you have to hear the gospel, you have to believe it, and you have to speak it. If you don't do that, then you don't get saved. Lazy Christians may say to themselves, I'll sit around and let God do it. If God wants to save my family, he can. There are denominational churches that sprang up by teaching that doctrine. They don't preach the gospel because they say that God has predestined everyone to be saved. Merriam-Webster definition of predestinated means foreordained to an earthly or eternal destiny by divine decree. In that case, why should we preach the gospel? It is an example of spiritual laziness, because God rewards those who diligently seek him. As it says in Hebrews 11:6, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God does not reward those who sit around doing nothing, expecting God to do their part of partnership covenant for them. Two, lack of knowledge, ignorance of how to receive the promises. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ever so desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. A major reason why believers are sick. For the young believer, it is a lack of knowledge or ignorance of what the promises are. But for the intermediate believer, it is the lack of knowledge of how to receive the promises of God. Number three, lack of faith. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You see, there was this believer who was believing for healing for 5 years. She would go to church, which did not teach healing, and so remained at this level. An ABC pastor started talking with her and told her that Jesus paid the price over 2,000 years ago. she started to believe that and asked for prayers for her healing. In no time, she was healed. Amen. Amen. What is very common among immature believers or cardinal Christians could be that when they were younger, they have prayed some prayers and God answered. But some prayers didn't get answered. After a while, a number of prayers that were answered started to exceed the ones that were answered. So pretty soon, they bought into the philosophy that God is up in heaven spinning a roulette wheel with a hit or a miss results. Sometimes this person gets healed, and sometimes that person gets healed. They haven't grown to the point of understanding, but what this is happening is a function of what they are doing and believing. Therefore, they need to find out that what they are doing wrong, to learn how to pray more effectively to get healed. It is very common with immature carnal believers to have a lack of faith. If they keep subscribing to that erroneous philosophy and continually see that their prayers do not be answered, that can start to determine their faith. Because they are so used to seeing their prayers unanswered, nobody ever told these immediate believers the reason why their prayers are not being answered. And the reason is, number one, they are not praying according to spiritual laws. Number two, they are not removing the hindrances. Number three, they're not going to church on a regular basis. They are not reading the Bible. They are not confessing their sins. They are taking offense. They are walking in unforgiveness and bitterness. They are canceling their prayers with negative words in their mouths. They have a lack of knowledge, and that is why their faith is being eroded. Bad teaching. 2 Peter 2, 1-22. Now I'm going to just pick out four verses. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring into damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Verse 2:2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth of evil spoken of. 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, but to reserve the unjust into the day of judgment to be punished. 2:13. And shall receive the reward of the unrighteous, as they that count it all pleasure, to riot in the same day and the same time. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. You see, bad teaching means that immature believers will also have a lack of faith. Here is an example of the secular world called the Peter Principle. The Peter principle has nothing to do with St. Peter. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Peter principle means that people will rise up to their own level of incompetence. Why? Let's say there are 10 levels in a corporation. That person has to start at level 1. Then, when he really does well there, what happens in the corporate world is that person gets promoted to level 2. And continues to do well. They promote him again. And he goes to level 3, level 4. Then at level 5, he peters out. He peters out. And discovers that he is stressed out and overwhelmed because he is way over his head. And now he cannot handle it. So what happens? He does not get promoted anymore. And he finally found himself at a level where he is not performing well. However, it is a level where the corporation will keep him at, even though he is incompetent at that level. If an employee is good at any level, the corporation will promote him, him or her. But the corporations do not like demoting people. Therefore, this guy has been promoted 4 times in a row. How can he be demoted? So this man has finally risen to the level where he is no good. And they leave him there. This is called the Peter Principle. This principle was named after Dr. Lawrence J. Peter, a doctor in education who observed this principle and wrote a book in 1969. This analogy shows how bad teaching affects the Christian church, and many immature but Christians will normally find a church who thinks the way they do, where they agree doctrinally as birds of a feather flock together. If that church believes in bad teaching, then everyone goes there. They will also believe in bad teaching and will become incompetent because they arise to the level where the church is at with erroneous teachings and now become stagnated. For instance, many churches that do not believe in miracles still can occur today. Think that miracles ended during the time of the apostles in the books of Acts. So the immature Christians will grow up to the level of where the church is and at the level where they will stay sick and miserable, not understanding why. So that why bad teaching is a major reason why believers are sick. 5, impatience. 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Luke 21:19. In your patience possess you your souls. Let's apply this Peter principle of arising to a level of incompetence using impatience as our focus. When was the last time you sat in church and someone told you that impatience is a great sin? When was that? When was the last time you sat in a church and somebody said to you from the pulpit this perspective of 3 John 2? Your health and your wealth depend on the prosperity of your soul, because the scripture says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. But Jesus says, in your patience, you possess your soul. How can your soul prosper if you don't possess patience? Impatience is a major sin and is a major reason why believers are sick. However, you don't hear about that in churches. 6, long-term habits. The serpent. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, As God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Many immature believers may think of the twisted ways and do not line up with the Word of God, which the Bible calls an iniquity. Just like Eve twisted God's command because of Satan's cunning beguilement, which made her decide to sin. That causes long-term bad habits and most likely will turn into sin. Satan, like a sneaky, silent snake, will try to use these bad habits to make the immature believers sin more. To fight this, the immature believer must move towards God, like it says in James 4:8. D. Mature believers. First, complacency standing still regarding God. James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Mature believers also draw near to God to fight off the major reasons why believers are sick. One of the biggest challenges mature believers is complacency. Mature believer has seen God's power work through them. They have seen miracles and signs and wonders. They probably walk in a place where all their needs are met, and they are not really challenged in their health that much. They may attend a great church or a great ministry. They may feel that they are fulfilling the call of God in their life. So they get complacent. Pastor Joshua agrees with the words of Catherine Coleman, who said, all healing comes from God. Some miraculously comes from God directly, and some comes through doctors. Let us focus in on what she said about miraculous healings. Catherine also said, see these marvelous healings? Have I no idea how it works? I have no idea how it works. I don't know why it works. Catherine's statement are the opposite of complacency. What you and I should want is to learn how to walk God in God's way. God says he'll teach us his way as we become teachable as little children. Psalms 25:9 says that as we humble ourselves, we need to become meek. God will teach us his ways. So we can see through this scripture that the opposite of complacency is knowing that if you don't know, desire to learn. Number two, self-righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. When a mature believer chooses to remain complacent, it makes it very easy for the devil to attack them with self-righteousness. The enemy will put thoughts in their minds with a righteous attitude, such as, hey, church, look at me and all the wonderful things that God has done through me. And that must mean that I have the right relationship with God. God's word will keep us humble, so we do not think of ourselves higher than we should. It says in Romans 12:3, for I say, through grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of more of himself highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Humility will enable us not to be self-righteous. All important, know-it-all, who denies the truth, we should endeavor to walk in the fruit of the Spirit of humility on a daily basis. Lack of knowledge. Ignorance of how sin affects receiving the promises. Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Mark 11:26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. The lack of knowledge is another major reason why believers are sick, because of mature believers has ignored how the sin affects receiving the promises. You see, the young believer has a lack of knowledge, which is ignorance of God's promises. The immature believer knows what God's promises are, but does not know how to receive them. The mature believer knows what God's promises are, knows how to receive them, but does not know what is blocking them from manifesting. So mature believers need to learn to identify the hindrances and how to remove them by learning major reasons why believers are sick to avoid them. A strong believer was confessing her ongoing sins without knowing any specific occasion of sinning. She knew she was challenged with some sins, which she frequently committed. She knew that she had these sins, which she committed without realizing when she did them. She rarely knew a specific occasion in which she committed them. So every time she confessed her sins, she included the unknown sins. The result of doing this, she ended up totally bedridden and could barely call Pastor Joshua. When Pastor finally determined what was going on, he had her confess her sins, starting with what she was doing, and had her say, "In the name of Jesus, I am not aware of any sins since the last time I repented of all my sins. So right now I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, to cleanse me of all my unknown sins." She got her healing right away within a matter of minutes. Hallelujah. Number four, pride. 1 Peter 5:5. "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." God's definition of pride: inordinate self-esteem, an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often contempt of others. You see, under the young believers, there is fear. Under the mature believers, there is impatience. And under mature believer, there is pride. These are three great sins. The first greatest sin is pride, followed by impatience, followed by fear. Pride and patience describe the mature believer and the immature believer. Anybody can commit those sins if locked in a room all by themselves with no stimulus from the outside. A believer can be full of pride and can be impatient. But fear reflects something outside of a person. Fear is the doorway that opens up every attack of the enemy. The Bible says that we were once in bondage again to fear because the fear of death. Once we become born again, we are supposed to be overcoming the fear of death. We can start pulling down every fear in our life. God wants us to be free of fear. The major challenge for young believers is that they do not know that they are supposed to be free of fear, and they think it's normal. The major challenge for immature believers, it's hard for them to get rid of their fear because they keep walking in impatience. Impatience is also a fear that something isn't going to be done on time. The major challenge for mature believers is that they need to focus on getting rid of pride. Unknown sins. Angel of light. Pastor Joshua says that the big sin for mature believers is probably the unknown sins. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "Satan himself transforms himself into the angel of light." When a person is a mature believer, walking in the power of God, seeing God's grace in his or her life, it is easy for the devil to start giving them a new spin on the gospel, a new revelation knowledge, so that the mature believer always has to be careful that everything he or she studies and believes has to be consistent with the Bible. The mature believer is not founded in the Word of and does not spend time in checking the Word for the truth. They can easily be led by the angel of light into false doctrine. And heresy, which is commonly seen in the body of Christ, much of the body of Christ thinks that praying in tongues is not of God, because they have not studied the scriptures. The ones who know anything about praying in tongues have rejected it. They think it's just a gift of the Spirit, and they haven't got it, or it is no longer applicable. There are seven applications of tongues that serve different purposes, only of which is a gifting of the Spirit. Summary. So here are some major reasons why believers are sick. You can use these reasons and apply them yourself to where you think you are in these categories. Whether you think you are a young believer, or an immature believer, or a mature believer, go through this checklist and see if you want a lifestyle of walking in divine health. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.